Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 18th of May, 2020. A Monday again, and I mentioned that it's Monday because many states are opening back up slowly, so it might matter that it's a Monday now. It hasn't mattered for 2-3 months what day of the week it is, but we're getting back to, hopefully, getting back to and staying back to it mattering what day of the week it is. What a long, strange trip it's been, and it'll probably continue to be. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. The email, if you want to sound off, is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. I try to respond to all emails, but I get it's everybody at the Daily Caller tends to email everybody at the Daily Caller. So you get, 40, 50 people emailing the whole staff, and your inbox just gets full of ugh, and you lose stuff in it. So if I don't respond to you, I apologize. I just, it gets lost in the thing, and feel free to send it again. I responded to an email the other day from somebody who said, I'm sending this again because you didn't respond. And I saw it, and I responded. But it's nothing personal if I don't get back to you. Let's see. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. We've got a security expert coming up, or an expert on fraud. My God, there's so much fraud going on right now. Whenever there's a crisis, whenever there's an opportunity, there are people who are more than giddy to try and take advantage of it and rip people off. Cures, selling you cures. We tell you what to look for. It's pretty easy. It's common sense. But people fall for it. People fall for it all the time. You think, well, you know, nobody would think that if you drink this water, it's going to cure you of coronavirus or cancer or AIDS or anything like that, because, well, the concept is ridiculous. But when people are desperate or not that bright, in a nation of 330 million, look, nobody would do these things if there wasn't some money in it, right? There's some money in this, and it might not be billions of dollars, and thank God it's not billions of dollars, but there are hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars per person trying to pull these scams. So we talked to Eric Smart, who studies this stuff and has worked in the healthcare field, and we tell you what to look out for. More as a public service announcement. Not you guys are going to fall for it, but you might know somebody who will. And you got to head them off at the pass. You know, as they used to say, knowing is half the battle, being the more you know. So we're going to get to that. And before we get to that, we've got some other stories to get to. Possibly it's being billed as the worst graduation speech in all of human history. I didn't think it was that bad. I just thought it was poorly constructed and went on too long. So we'll mock Senator Sasse for that. We have an update on strippers. Yeah, there you go. Up in Wyoming, where I think you probably need strippers if you live in Wyoming, because what else are you going to do? You can only rope cattle for so long. And we have, of course, where we're going to start with the latest on the coronavirus pandemic and the lecture from just incredibly smug journalists about how, well, about everything. They are the least self-aware people on the face of the earth, I think. Maybe they're aware and they just look at the size of their checks and go, you know what? It's a pretty good living. All I got to do is BS my way through an hour of TV and I get a ton of money. But it's more likely that they're just awful people. So we'll get into that. But first, let me tell you about Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Yes, you go to GetTheTea.com, and they have a bunch of products there. And, of course, most famously, the Life Change Tea. So while you're at GetTheTea.com, you check out the Life Change Tea. You decide on a flavor you want to give a shot, and you brew it up at home. It's a month's worth. And you drink just a cup a day, just as described in the instructions. Follow the instructions. It will make you regular. And then you'll notice a little side effect. Hey, wait a second. I'm getting more energy. I feel better than I did before. Now, why is that? Because your body on the inside, it's not a smooth surface. It's full of ridges. So think of it as a Ruffles potato chip, if you will, if you can get that image out of your head ever and sleep tonight. If not, sorry. But those ridges get filled up with things that, but those ridges also help you digest, absorb the nutrition in the food that you consume. So if those ridges are clogged up with old food, putting it mildly, you're able to absorb less nutrition because your food is moving through you, whether your body absorbs it or not. The waste is going through you. So get the tea, Life Change Tea, cleans you out. It cleans you out. That gives you more opportunity to absorb more of the nutrition in your food, which leads to better energy, which leads to better feelings. It's a wonderful thing. It tastes great, too. You only drink a cup a day. Follow the instructions, and you will notice a difference. And if you enter the promo code Derek, my name, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, you get free fast shipping on top of it all. You'll thank me for it, as many of you have. Okay, that's GetTheTea.com, Life Change Tea. Let's get into the news of the day, the news of the absurd. The human potato, the Weeble, was back at it again this weekend, lecturing about civility, decency, basic human decency. Oh, why are we not being more decent to one another? Does he watch CNN? I can't blame him if he doesn't watch CNN, but... If he watched CNN, well, we'll have a clip from old-timey CNN to put it in perspective. But on Sunday's show, ironically titled Reliable Sources, the human potato lectured mostly Republicans about the lack of decency. He does what every liberal trying to pretend to be an unbiased journalist does, is he says, well, I'm talking about both Republicans and Democrats. But he can never cite, and they can never cite anything where they've said anything remotely similar about a Democrat. They just throw in, this goes for Democrats too. They spent the last 3 years saying Antifa has nothing to do with the Democratic Party, but they're not really bad. They're not violent. They're anti-fascists. It's right there in the name. They are a running joke for which we are all, sadly, the punchline. But let's listen to the bald Avenger. I swear to God, if this is a comic book reference. But if you've, there's a movie too. If you ever see, there are pictures of Brian Stelter smiling. It's just unfortunate. He never should. Not that he should be unhappy his whole life, although it seems like he is. He should never smile for a picture. Because when he does, and the picture is taken straight on, he looks like Venom from the Spider-Man comics. You can Google that. I'm sure that there are some people who've put side-by-sides together. But when I see him, a straight-on picture of him smiling, all I see is the gigantic, sharp, drooling teeth of Venom. There's an image for you. But let's listen to the human potato this weekend lecture the American public, mostly conservatives, actually exclusively conservatives. So he wasn't really talking to any of us because he was talking to his small audience about decency and the problem with decency. And weirdly, he makes it about a defense about the media, which is a new level of pathetic. Listen to it.
And here's what makes this cycle so vicious, what makes this back and forth so vicious. The president lies, reporters point it out, he says the media hates him, then his supporters back him up, they excuse the lie, they defend their guy, they get even more alienated from the media, they become convinced that reporters are the enemy, and this helps Trump, so he keeps raising the volume, and then there's even more to criticize, and on loud, and the shouting's even louder and louder on social media, and harassment and threats against reporters become constant, and attacks against Trump, and on it goes. It is a vicious, vicious cycle. But basic decency is not and should never be partisan. It is not a Republican or Democratic idea.
Then why is it that Democrats are incapable of it? I love the line in there. It drives people further away. It alienates people further from the media. Again, he's not watching CNN. People, do you want to feel warm and cozy with any journalist? Do you sit there and go, oh, I really feel a kinship to Jake Tapper. And now he's betrayed our unspoken bond. Maybe there are some lunatics on the left who think that way, but most normal human beings do not. And if you find yourself walking down that path, stop. Stop. They aren't your friend. And most of them are dicks, if we're being perfectly honest. I've met almost all of them. I know some of them. And most of them are dicks. Let's just leave it at that. If you think, wow, that person's really nice, they're probably not. The person who you think comes across as a jerk on TV actually is more often than not the nicer person in real life. But hey, what are you going to do? But him sitting there going, oh, this, the decency is being hurt by Donald Trump demonizing the media, which then causes the media to be mean to Donald Trump. And like, nobody's causing any journalist, Brian, to do shoddy reporting. To do horrible, to be bad at their job. Nobody is causing journalists to go on TV and say the president of the United States has blood on his hands. Nobody's causing that. Nobody on TV, by the way, has said that Andrew Cuomo has blood on his hands, and he actually has blood on his hands. He ordered sick senior citizens into nursing homes in New York. We have audio of him explaining, old people, they die anyway, so what are you going to do? That's coming up. But this is insane. This is delusional. You can only come up with what Brian Stelter is sitting there spewing on his TV show if you live in a bubble and you also live with your head where last night's dinner resides. He should pull. Look, we all need a kick in our complacency. Every once in a while, I go a little too far, probably, I assume. I get complaint emails, some of them I agree with, like, I probably shouldn't have put it that way. But by and large, everybody does need a reminder that, hey, calm down, or hey, relax, something like that. Unfortunately, I'm sitting in my basement. There's nobody sitting here to kind of go, wait a second, the cats, they don't think I go far enough, so they're not going to say anything. And unless I'm talking about Frozen, the kids don't give a damn. But the idea that it is the president, and that's what Brian is saying there without saying it. He tries to undercut it at the end. It's not Republican or Democrat. It's just decency. That it is the president's fault that, A, people are feeling alienated from the media, shows a complete and total lack of awareness of what? Forever? I don't remember. Since the Reagan administration? Media bias has been a known and reported on commodity. We had Tim Graham on from the Media Research Center last week. The Media Research Center has been around since 1987, 88, something like that. They've been around a while. So they've been documenting media bias for some time. If there was nothing to document, they wouldn't have started. But if Brian doesn't want to go back to the 80s, back when puberty was just an aspiration, now he's, you know, experienced the ravages of puberty and the unfortunateness of his genetic makeup. See, maybe I went too far there, but seriously, look at a picture of him and a picture of Todd McFarlane era Venom from the Spider-Man comics and tell me they're not the same. But Brian doesn't have to go too far to find examples of him practicing and enabling what he is decrying there. And this is what I find most bizarre about these liberal people in the media. They seem to forget that the internet is like Pepperidge Farm, right? You might not remember that you were a complete jackass, but Pepperidge Farm remembers. The internet, and according to Bob Seger, rock and roll never forgets. But it seems as though so many people who are in the news business do forget. And that's what I find curious. Brian, last year on his own show on CNN, had a guest on. This guest was the former head of the Duke Psychology Department. His name is, where is his name? Dr. Alan Francis, right? So you bring on the former head of the department at Duke Psychology and you think, okay, this person is an authority, you would think. But your producers do some research on these people. You know exactly what you're getting when you sign up for these people. Nobody just stumbles on and goes, well, I don't know, his resume looked good. They check to see if you have anything controversial. They don't do a deep background check, but they make sure you aren't out there spewing loony 9/11 was an inside job type of conspiracy theories. So they get this guy on there, Brian Stelter. You'll hear him. He's listening along. And at the end of this clip, he says something. Now, remember, Brian Stelter just lectured on decency. What you hear this guy say was not pushed back on at all, not one iota, by Brian Stelter, the human potato, which tells you something about Brian Stelter, the human potato. Oh, he had a story. I'll tell you what the story is after we listen to the clip, and I'll tell you why that's garbage. But here is Mr. lecturing the country about decency from just August of last year, not even a full year ago.
I think that medicalizing politics has three very dire consequences. The first is that it stigmatizes the mentally ill. I've known thousands of patients, almost all of them have been well-behaved, well-mannered, good people. Trump is none of these. Lumping the mentally ill with Trump is a terrible insult to the mentally ill, and they have enough problems and stigma as it is. The second issue is that calling Trump crazy hides the fact that we're crazy for having elected him, and even crazier for allowing his crazy policies to persist. Trump is as destructive a person in this century as Hitler, Stalin, and Mao were in the last century. He may be responsible for many more million deaths than they were.
Oh, yeah. Donald Trump, remember that one? Donald Trump might be more responsible for more deaths than Hitler, Stalin, and Mao. He's just as bad as they are. Now, that was the guy sitting there going, This was on his show, and it was not followed up with, wait a second, that's like 150 million dead people, right? Stalin and Mao, 100 million sort of in peacetime, taking out their own people, and Hitler, 50 million in World War II. You can't say that. But you can say that if you're a liberal on Brian Stelter's show, because he did not follow up with it. Now, later on, he did say on Twitter, not on his show, and this wasn't the last segment of his show that day, by the way, later on, did say, I didn't hear that. My IFB, the little thing that they stick in your ear, you see it's the little cable sticking out of people's heads. They're not Borg. They are listening devices. My IFB, I didn't hear that. That is ridiculous. It's plausible, which is why he said it. But I'll tell you why it's ridiculous. Because Brian then knew when he was done speaking. He picked up right when he was done speaking. And moreover, there are somewhere between 30 and 50 people. I don't know how it is at CNN, but I can't imagine it being fewer than 30 people with cameramen, sound people, and all the people in the production room, all the producers who monitor, who watch, who listen, who work on that show. You're telling me that nobody heard that guy say something plain as day? It wasn't as though he was being talked over. He said it plain as day. Brian heard it, and it didn't register with Brian, because that's the way people who hang around with Brian Stelter likely talk. Maybe not in public, but certainly when they're together playing Stratego or whatever a whole bunch of unpopular nerds do. But that's just a small sampling of what CNN is. Who CNN is. Remember what they did to Nick Sandman, a high school student whose only sin was having a toothless Native American come up and chant and bang a drum in his face. they had to settle a massive lawsuit against them. They did. We don't know for how much, but I suspect Nick Sandman is not going to pay $1 for his college tuition. That's what CNN is. That's who CNN is. So the next time these people, it's always the most indecent people who lecture on decency, right? I would say there's nobody in media who has any business whatsoever lecturing anybody about decency. Yet they do it constantly. They do it regularly, and they do it with a fervor and excitement that you don't really see outside of long-form pornographic movies. Speaking of long-form porn, no, I'm just kidding. Next, we have Peter Navarro. He works in the White House. He's the trade advisor, I believe, for the President of the United States. He was on with George Stephanopoulos, and I only want to play this for you because George Stephanopoulos gets his ass handed to him. This smug prick just continues the liberal narrative, or tries to anyway, that the President of the United States is responsible for the pandemic. It's a horrible, what Donald Trump did, why he fiddled and dithered while people died. He didn't do anything in the month of February. They're calling the month of February a lost month. Well, Peter Navarro sets George Snuffleupagus straight on this one, and he does so in pretty brutal fashion. This was on This Week, This Weekend. Does anybody need 6 days of George Stephanopoulos? But listen to the sort of smug question-ish, if you can call it that. And then Peter Navarro just take a dead carp out of his pocket and smack George Stephanopoulos about the head and neck with it with some facts.
It was President Trump who was praising China all through the month of February. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that those lost weeks made a difference.
So, first of all, I think it's great that we have a president who can get along with all world leaders. So that's number one. But number two, there's no lost weeks. This starting gun for the China pandemic started on January 30th when President Trump had the courage to pull down the flights from China. That was an enormously courageous decision. He took a lot of heat from that. And from that day, and I was personally involved in a lot of this, we were moving on three vectors of attack in February: vaccine development, development of therapeutics like remdesivir, and the building up a capacity for things like N95 masks. And the work we did throughout February has borne beautiful fruit here in the spring, because what we saw on Friday in the Rose Garden was the announcement of a 14-company race to a vaccine with the goal of December. What we've seen is therapeutics like remdesivir already going into hospitals right now to save American lives. And we had a company like Honeywell building two factories in 5 weeks, George, instead of 9 months. 5 weeks, that's Trump time, to produce 20 million N95 masks a month. So don't tell me that we lost February, because I was there. I'm right here, and this president was directing us to move as quickly as possible, even as publicly we were trying to figure out in the fog of war just how serious this pandemic
would be. You know, you mentioned...
George then quickly moved on, as you could sort of hear him start saying there, because he realized that he had just had his lunch handed to him and it was dumped on his head. Is embarrassing for a mere mortal, but when you are the chief political correspondent or whatever the hell George Stephanopoulos is, I think you might be news director of ABC News. He's got some other impressive title. You just move on. You just move on. You never have to admit that you're wrong, because there were accusations in his question. Those accusations were beaten, destroyed, tossed off, and George just goes, all right, well, that's a dry well. We got to move down the hill because I'm hurting the cause. Speaking of hurting the cause, Governor Andrew Cuomo, the cause is keeping people alive, particularly the most vulnerable, senior citizens being the lion's share of that group. And New York is about 6,000 dead senior citizens in nursing homes, because Governor Cuomo's executive order that ordered senior citizens with COVID-19 into nursing homes in order to try to free up beds for people worth saving. That's basically what his argument was. As sick as that sounds, it really was sick. And if you think that sounds sick, listen to what he said over the weekend at a press conference about the senior citizens dying in nursing homes as a result of his executive order. And tell me, now, he was the liberal hero. He still is the liberal hero. You won't get much play on this outside of Fox News because he's a liberal hero. But tell me the absolute fecal storm that would happen if a Republican had said something like this.
We worked it out so we always had available beds. Nobody was deprived of a bed or medical coverage in any way. And still people died. Still people died. Older people, vulnerable people are going to die from this virus. That is going to happen, despite whatever you do.
Look, old people die. That's what they do. Wasn't that a line from Old School? Old people, Vince Vaughn, old people die. That's what they do. You don't really get that from a politician very often, especially a politician who ordered the sick into the nursing homes that helped spread unprepared nursing homes, denied them PPE, denied them training, didn't really let them in on how best practices were because there weren't really any. They just said, get them out of here, get them out of the hospital. We need to free up hospital beds in case somebody we deem worthy of saving comes along. It's shocking to hear the cavalier way in which he sort of addresses this, is it not? Look, old people die. Old people are going to die. Old people die every day. There's somebody old dying right now. What do you want from me? Leave me alone. The media would not be able to stop freaking out if this were a Republican, but it is not. It is the media-created anti-Donald Trump. And if they covered this story, if they covered that quote, if they covered what he did to nursing homes, the way it deserves to be covered. Because think of how many people got sick. It's not just the 6,000 dead in nursing homes. It's all of the employees of nursing homes who got sick. And who did they infect? And where did it go? They created these hot spots. And they helped facilitate the spread of coronavirus throughout. It led to, and everybody gets around by public transportation in New York, it led to the mess that they have now. And here he is going, what are you going to do? Well, people die. You can't save everybody. You can't make an omelet without killing 6,000 senior citizens by your directive. Which, you know, if there was nothing wrong with his directive, why'd he reverse it last week? Why, when he was first asked about it a month ago, said he didn't know anything about it when it was his directive? And why, when he was asked about it a month ago, did it take him a month to correct it? He didn't care. He wasn't bothered. He couldn't be bothered. I mean, you fill out the answer card. Nothing you can put down there is good. But he's a Democrat. So he will be insulated, and the ladies on The View will ruin their home upholstery tomorrow talking about it and playing clips of him again, as they do every weekday. Let's get to the interview. I'll have the Ben Sasse speech. It's sort of lighter, and the stripper story's lighter, so I don't want to go from light to an interview about fraud. But so we'll talk to Eric Smart now. I give his credentials in his introduction. He's been following all this fraud. The federal government is cracking down on a lot of fraud. Whenever there's this much money being thrown around and this many people this scared, there are always hucksters there ready to rip people off. Don't fall for it. So here you go. Here's Eric Smart, and I'll be back at the end for the last 5 minutes or so to maybe a little bit longer. Depends on how much time there is. But play you some clips from the worst possibly graduation speech ever. And if you're in Wyoming or thinking about going strip club hopping in Wyoming, you might still want to wait a little while. But first, here is Eric Smart. Okay, one thing that is always a problem when it comes to anything in the news or anything that scares people health-related is the lack of accurate information. And of course, the lack of accurate information not only stops people on TV, pundits and journalists, from spewing information they have no idea whether or not it's true, it also means there's opportunities out there for scammers, anybody willing to do anything to make a buck. And we're seeing that, of course, in spades with the coronavirus. There's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement has launched Operation Stolen Promise to crack down on bogus medical claims about various products, on bogus masks and gloves. I don't know how you counterfeit gloves, but there's counterfeit gloves. There's fake everything. There's always somebody trying to make a buck. The mob's got to keep the gravy train rolling somehow. Our guest today is Eric Smart. He's a consumer expert. He's run pharmaceutical and food manufacturing companies, and he is now the CEO of Myoderm CBD. He's studied this stuff. He's followed this stuff. And as people are being ripped off and taxpayers are being ripped off, the government as well, I thought we'd talk to him about these scams. So welcome, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're out in Colorado. How, first of all, before we get into these scams, how are things handling in Colorado? Colorado is slowly reopening. It's not getting the attention that Georgia or Florida is. But right around the same time, you guys were opening. Is it going well?
Well, it's a little slower than those two states. We don't have restaurants open. They did open hair salons. I don't know about you, but I'm keenly interested in getting back to the gym, and that is not open. So, that's going to be the real litmus test. And that's, of course, in Georgia and Florida, you're seeing restaurants open. In other states, that's, you know, where a lot of people aggregate. So in Colorado, it's been pretty quiet. People are getting a little agitated. They do want to eat out. I want to eat out. You know how that goes.
No, I know. It's just, you want to be outside. You want to do something other than walk around outside. Less love. Great being outside. Colorado is a beautiful state. But if all you do is walk around the block, you've seen the block. You know, you want to be able to do something. Yeah. In any pandemic, Eric, and not like we've had a lot of pandemics, but in any emergency, any situation where people are frightened, where things can be promised and not necessarily delivered on, especially vague promises. You know, I can promise you I have this magical pill that will keep you from getting sick. And if you get sick and die, you can't sue me. And if you don't get sick, I get to take credit and sound like a genius. There are opportunists in every area, but the coronavirus seems to be, well, it's ubiquitous right now. It seems to be overrun right now with counterfeits, with frauds, fraudulent claims. Why is it that you think so many people are flocking to claim a piece of a pie through fraud?
Well, you know the saying, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Oh, yeah.
That is, you know, part and parcel of what's happening. And what it is fear, right? Fear. There's two things that really drive people, greed and fear. And you're basically putting those together in the worst combination where people see an opportunity to prey on others' fears. And you know, it's across the spectrum of industries and services and products where people can get scammed in this scenario. And being in the CBD industry, which is an emerging, you know, market, brand new to people, a lot of people see it as a panacea type scenario, which it's not. But they do, it's got a perception of doing a lot of things. So it is a heavily trafficked scam industry. So we see everything kind of before other industries do. And that's certainly been the case with COVID.
When you say heavily trafficked, you aren't kidding. How many complaints roughly have there been, and how many attempted scams and exposed scams have there been?
Oh my gosh, you're talking about, you know, thousands and thousands. They just, and remember, the FTC collects these, and those are only people who report them, right? So getting, you know, probably a small fraction of what's actually happening out there. It's a mess.
What are some of the more egregious claims that you're seeing? And I know the one about Jim Baker selling water that's supposed to cure you if you've got coronavirus. It also cures AIDS and cancer and all sorts of other things, according to these claims. That there have always been snake oil salesmen, but what are some of the worst claims that you have come across?
Well, anything that's a life safety issue, certainly cancer is pretty egregious, right? Everyone's like, that's a pretty hit the heartstrings type thing when people were suffering. You know, COVID's even more dangerous because it's so acute, happening right now, and can rapidly deteriorate people. But anything around Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cancer, those are pretty egregious. Anything that keeps people from taking their proper medications, that they think it's a substitute for that, and then people can get seriously ill or die. So that's what, when the FTC and FDA are looking at, that's what they're focusing hard on, those things.
Why, do you have any idea why it is in the psychology of human beings? We have medicines that work for certain things. You know, depending on the individual, no pill works for everybody. But there's always this desire in human beings to find some other way to do what we found a way to do, a shortcut even. Why is that, that people are going, well, if I eat a handful of clovers, that's the same thing as chemotherapy or something like that? There's not very large percentage of the population, thank God, but there's always that percentage of the population that are open to what normal people would go, that's absurd, that's insane.
Well, there's three factors that really kick in hard that make, you know, exponentially increase these type of scenarios of fraud and people buying into it. The first one's fear, which we're seeing. The second one's really a bias for laziness. People don't want to do the harder things, or shall we say the more common things that are well known, like diet and exercise, healthy lifestyle. They want a cure-all quickly, which is common in any scenario, just gets exacerbated. And there's a cognitive bias that kicks in around group, like just hearing things repetitively. Like you just hear, like, oh, for example, with CBD, people are like, it does this, it does this. It, you know, helps with cancer. It helps with, you know, outrageous statements that taken one time are just kind of pushed away. But you hear it 1,000 times, okay, maybe it's true. So you layer those in, those factors in, that's when it gets bad.
Have things gotten worse because of social media, do you think?
You know, another force multiplier. People, you know, it's just an ability to get the wrong information out quickly. And then even well-meaning people making incredibly dumb statements that reinforce the bad information. And I think we've all seen that in social media in every scenario.
If you told me that's why social media was created, I'd have said, but they're very effective. They nailed their market. They hit the bullseye with that one.
How do the morons run the show here? It's amazing.
But then you run into an alternative problem where the social media platform itself becomes the arbiter of what is and isn't truth. And look, there are some claims like that Jim Baker holy water where you go, that's just bullshit. But then there are other things where you're taking down someone's opinion. And that's a pretty fine line between fraud and, I don't know, hope might not be the right word. But certainly somebody, if somebody wants to believe something that's false, they have
you're not
the right.
Gonna get, there's 10% of the population that is just going to fall. You can't stop it, right? You can't. That's our challenge. It's kind of one of those things where there's just fraud. It's going to happen. There are just people susceptible to it. What you want to do is minimize the capacity to proliferate these types of advertisements, mainly through a lot of email campaigns where people get it personally and they kind of connect with it more. They even have texting going on now very aggressively. So that's even more personal to people. And heck, phone calls. I mean, you know, in this scenario, it's less, but we see it in other scammy phone call scenarios.
What so should people be on the lookout for if they're afraid? I mean, first of all, a phone call. Nobody's going to call you and say, hey, we've got the cure for coronavirus. All you got to do is take this test. Well, they will call you, but no legitimate.
No, it's not real.
Nobody's going to call you. But what else should they be on the lookout for?
Yeah, the main thing, if people would just look at anything that sounds too good to be true, like protects you against COVID. You want to believe that. You're like, oh, if I take this, then I'll be protected. Those are the more insidious than cures COVID. Like cures COVID, everyone's kind of like, really? But the insidious ones are the ones that give you hope and seem like it maybe possibly could happen. So in those cases, one, people should use good discernment. Say that's a 99.9% chance that's not true. If I don't hear it from leading medical professionals, that's garbage. I hate to say it. It's common sense, even though it's not very common. People just, if it's too good to be true, I can pretty much guarantee it is.
Well, right. If they found, if you take 800,000 milligrams of echinacea, you'll be protected from COVID-19. I'm pretty sure that would have made the news. You know, I think that would be out there, and a simple search would alleviate all of these things. But there are, sadly, some Americans out there who just, I don't know, is it fear or is it stupidity? Is it a combination of those things and other things? What is it that makes people so susceptible, aside from the wish fulfillment in people's heads?
Well, it's a combination of all of those, and it really boils down to the consumer psychology under duress, which really intensifies all the bad decision mechanisms we are prone to and just makes us way more susceptible. Even intelligent people get caught in scams. It just happens. So the best defense you can have for that is disengage from whatever you're looking at. Maybe ask someone who you trust, say like, hey, does this make sense? Don't make snap judgments, because that's a good example of this. And this is one that's not insidious, but makes you feel pretty stupid. You know, on like social media, Facebook's pretty famous for this. People do this repost talking about different things you can do in Facebook to make it more quote unquote safe for you, for your identity. Yeah. And they do these stupid reposts, which are just I don't know how they proliferate, but you see them, you're like, wow, that person who I think is a pretty smart person reposted this thinking it's doing something and it's not. So I always go with the recommendation, ask someone you trust, does this make sense? That will help.
You got to recognize too that if somebody came up with a piece of licorice that cured coronavirus, they wouldn't immediately go to a Facebook ad or a promoted tweet with that information. They would likely go to the biggest audience humanly possible.
Mainstream media worthy, you'd think?
There'd be some money involved in that. So they don't need to sell. We're cutting out the middleman and going direct to you to save money. Like, oh, so you're narrowing your potential market to 0.1% from 100%. That sort of marketing, it's not very likely, but we're seeing there have been over 50,000 complaints filed and millions and tens of millions of dollars scammed so far. What happens to somebody who is scammed? Do they have any recourse to just say, oh, I plunked down $30 for this root of a cactus or something that I'd heard would help me with coronavirus? There's no real recourse for them, is there? That money's just gone. You just become part of a statistic.
Yeah, it's part of the buyer beware scenario. You're not getting it back. You can file a complaint with the FTC or the FDA. It will go into a database, but you're not going to get, you know, compensatory scenarios with that.
And by the time you get to any civil lawsuit, the company's dissolved, it's bankrupt, it's in the ether, and if they track down the people, it'll be a minor miracle. So you're really just screwed, right?
Correct.
I don't understand the psychology of anybody who could do these sorts of things. But then I also don't understand the mentality of people who fall for these sorts of things. What advice?
I can that a little bit.
Go ahead. So
again, running a company in the CBD industry, we literally have daily, you know, multiple people, sometimes dozens of people contacting us with very positive feedback. Thanks for making this. Questions, probably hundreds of people sometimes on a day with questions. And these are people with like serious problems. Like their spouse has cancer. You know, they have real life safety issues they're dealing with. And even the brightest person can get desperate. And they're looking for anything. And you layer on the fear that is generated by media, certainly social media, which generates the worst type of fear, which is the dumbest people have the loudest voice for some reason. Mm-hmm. So you layer that in, and man, you got people who can make good decisions, who are certainly capable of it, start making bad decisions. And that's really the explanation of the why. Why it increases exponentially when there's a fear factor like COVID going on.
So then what advice do you have for people who are, there are legitimate fears out there? Say you have a compromised immune system, you have a history of being susceptible to respiratory illness or whatever, and you're just scared, and rightly so, and probably a little bit more than you should be based on the media coverage. But those people who go out there looking for something, they're just chum in the water. What would you tell them? What would you tell somebody who's desperately looking for hope?
Right. Especially concerning COVID. I'm not a doctor, but obviously I work in a healthcare aspect. I've worked in pharmaceuticals. I worked with doctors. I actually founded this company with a pharmacist. Here's the best things you can do. Seriously. Get a good night's sleep. Eat a healthy diet. Wash your hands, good hygiene, and don't touch your face, because your face is the number one area of entry for viral load. So if you do those things and just use good sense, don't hang around people who are, you know, sneezing and coughing all the time, the risk of you having a life-threatening scenario is insanely low. In fact, do you know what the average age of death of COVID patients are?
It's in the 70s, isn't it?
Do you know what the average age of death is? Yeah, it's the average age of death. It's the aggregate average age of death. So when you hear that, you realize, okay, well, you know, if it's a another type of disease infection that can cause me problems, you would be using good sense around that anyway, whether it's, you know, pneumonia, whether it's, you know, highly contagious types of things like in your hospital, MRSA, all these things, just use good sense. And you're going to eliminate 90% of the risk right there.
But nobody buys a lottery ticket expecting to lose. And that's that mentality is, you know, you kind of laugh at it and it's $2 and blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of the same thing as you leave your house and you just assume everything out there is coated in COVID, and you want, and that's what I suppose makes this more nefarious than anything else, is that fear. Is there a way to alleviate that fear? Yes, the statistics you cite and the number of cases, 330 million people in the country, 1.5 million confirmed cases. So it's, you know, a fraction of a fraction, but the mental math that our brain does in the back of our heads going, it's your neighbor, it's coming for you, it's out there, you go out and you cut your grass, then you come in and take a Silkwood shower sort of mentality. There really is no way to combat that's human nature. How do you combat human nature?
You encourage people to have a non-victim mentality. So every day we go out and drive. Driving's a dangerous endeavor, right? People die. But people don't have that mentality when they're driving. They have a non-victim mentality. They're like, I'm going to drive. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to manage myself. That needs to be the same mentality we have around this scenario. Take care of yourself, manage yourself, and guess what? You have an insanely low probability of anything bad happening to you. if you feel like it's a situation where it's very crowded, where you have a high risk profile, don't go there. You just make good decisions. We live in a free country. You can do what you want. That means you don't have to go to high risk scenarios.
Last question for you, Eric, because it's, you know, the mentality of it's too good to, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably is. But we always go back to that because I've bought things and I've really thought about buying things off of infomercials. You know, you're just sitting there watching TV and you're like, this makes chicken taste like an orgasm. My God, it's the best thing ever. And you sit there and you go, it's just chicken. But you're like, maybe there is the secret in this, you know, light bulb that they're using to cook this glorified easy bake oven that they do that. Is there anything that is too good to be true that actually ended up being true? And any advice for people out there who are scared and their attitude is, well, it'll only cost me $20 to find out.
All right. I'm gonna take a risk here and say there are some things that are indicated that will help folks. I'm not a big fan of vitamin C and all the, you know, vitamin supplements. Multivitamins have too little of what you need and too much of what you don't need. However, vitamin D is actually very useful for health, especially in an immune function scenario, and most people are deficient. So if you're not getting out in sunlight, get a vitamin D supplement. That will help you in a, you know, empirical way, probably feel better, one, and help your immune system be responsive.
That's good advice. And it's something that, you know, anybody can get, anybody can afford, and nobody's going to get rich off of, which is how I know that, you know, there's some truth to what you're saying. I'm not here. Eric Smart from Big Vitamin D Company. Yeah, you know, it's
I have no dog in that fight.
You don't own the sun. You can't, if you don't pay me the money, I'm going to block it out over your house. Your backyard is completely screwed and your pool party's ruined. So that's one of the things that we're seeing, you know, Florida and California seeing significantly low numbers.
I'm telling you, man, I'm not a physician, but I've worked in the healthcare industry a long time. I've seen a lot of the bullshit out there, and there's a lot. Everything your healthcare provider says is not accurate. They're doing the best they can, but science is, you know, a 50-50 shot at best until it's proven out over a long period of time.
Right. Especially, I mean, this is a new virus. They don't even fully know what all the symptoms are. And so the idea that they would have any, you know, panacea, any cure-all, any silver bullet at this point, or even solid advice, is that my problem is that so many people out there with the degrees, with the expertise, with the titles, get on TV and make declarative statements one way or the other when they just should say, we don't know, you know, like you did with vitamin D. It certainly makes it better, your body better. I don't know if it'll do it with COVID, but it's certainly good for your immune system, which can't hurt. And instead, you know, that's not going to get you invited back on TV if you go, well, Chris Hayes, tell you, here's something that I do know. It's like, no, this is bad or this is good. Everything, there's no dimmer switch anymore in media. It's a toggle switch. It's on or off. It's outrage or indifference. There's no, like, cause for concern. It is, we're all going to die or we're all fine. And that's a problem. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, because it makes so many people so susceptible to, and look, if somebody you lose $20 in a scam, it's $20 in a scam, nobody wants to lose $20, but it's these assholes who are getting rich. They'll bring in $5 million and then disappear after having lied to people. And some people will be harmed by it. And I just want people to be aware of it. I can't make decisions for these people, but I can make them or give them as much information as possible so they can make the best decisions for themselves. And that's why I thank you, Eric Smart, for coming on today. How do people find out about Myaderm CBD?
Yep, you can go to Myaderm, MYADERM.com. We make CBD topical creams for aches and pains, not for curing COVID.
Excellent. A truth in advertising. Who'd have thought it? Eric Smart, thank you for coming on today.
Thanks, Derek.
There you go. Now you are smarter for having heard that, and hopefully you can help other people avoid any scams. Be on the lookout for what to look for, and not just this situation, but any situation going forward, because there are always shysters out there trying to rip people off and succeeding at ripping people off. All right. Ben Sasse, senator from Nebraska, was asked to deliver the graduation speech at a high school in Nebraska. Now, there obviously was no commencement ceremony, so it was virtual. Everybody watching a live stream on their home computers and whatnot gathered around. It sucks. You know, I know that my parents were very excited for all of our graduations. They got the pictures and the snapping of the pictures of walking across the stage and all that stuff. It didn't really mean anything to me, except that it meant something to them. So you feel worse for the parents, although at least the kids, my school and our time, had the opportunity to be cynical about it and not care, whereas these kids don't have that opportunity. Well, Ben Sasse tried to do, and he's catching a lot of hell for this, and it's being called the worst graduation speech ever. It's certainly not the worst graduation speech ever. The problem with it is he tries to be funny, and he's got a dad sense of humor. You know, the stereotypical dad in quotes sense of humor, not like, you know, your dad or my dad, but you know, like dad jokes, like dad bod, whatever. And he's just not particularly funny, because it goes on too long. That's why. You could chuckle at some of this, and you could probably chuckle at all of this individually, line by line about it. I could see how it would be written by somebody who's kind of nerdy and go, oh, well, this is funny, this is funny, this is funny. That's why you need somebody on the outside to go, okay, you've got a 5-page speech here that is, there's like 2 pages worth of good material. Because at the end, he does actually get into, you know, the grit you've learned here will serve you well in life. Don't worry, we'll get through this and all that kind of stuff. It does get good at the end. I'm not going to play the end because it's irrelevant to this point. Just know that it took about 6 minutes or so to get to the last 2 minutes of the part where it's actually good, good-ish. And it's because the beginning part was filled with stuff like this.
Congratulations, graduates. This is a big moment. Not on graduating high school, but on making the journey down the stairs from your bedroom to the living room and putting on something slightly more formal than sweatpants. Your grandparents are proud of you. We're all proud of you. It took a lot of effort. We want to recognize your sacrifice. Congratulations, parents, teachers, and coaches. Not that there's really any meaningful distinction among those categories anymore at this point. If you're a parent, you're a teacher. Thanks a lot, China. We're all teachers now, and let's be honest, at the start of this, most parents thought we would be visionary math teachers changing the world, but after about 2 weeks, we all just decided to default into gym teachers. I'm kidding, my dad was a gym teacher, I'm serious. He used to teach English and social studies, but he always aspired to get to gym so he didn't have to put on formal clothes every day, and he could wear the same sort of sweats that most of you are wearing from the bottom half down anyway. But anyway, I know, Dad, gym is important if you're watching, Dad, as if he's watching. My children aren't at his house, and like all grandparents, there's no chance he can get Zoom to work without my children there to do it.
Okay, we get it. We got the joke after the first 20 seconds. You just kept going back up to that damn dead horse and beating it. But this went on for like 6 minutes. That's the problem. And then he's going to catch hell for this. This is, again, each one of these things are fine individually, but they're not individually. They're strung together one after the other, which turns a commencement address into a Comedy Central roast, which is, well, it's never good, except on Comedy Central. But it's certainly not appropriate for a graduation ceremony in the midst of a pandemic. So here, and it, by the way, comedy doesn't really play well when delivered in he's in his office, but delivered in an empty room. Comedy really only plays well when there's an audience there to play off of, because it impacts your delivery, by the way. Just a pro tip for you. But here's the part. Anybody named Jeremy out there, Senator Sasse, not a fan.
You guys have this silver lining. You're going to remember your high school graduation. Nobody else has ever remembered their high school graduation. You're going to remember it. You're graduating in your living room, and you're having a senator come and talk to you about some dude named Joe Exotic. That's probably the least weird thing that happened this last month, because we haven't even started talking about murder hornets yet. That's right, murder hornets. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's not the murder hornet's fault. If an insect grows up being called a murder hornet, you can't be surprised when they actually start ripping the heads off of honeybees. I get it. That's a pretty good point. We all sort of do grow into our names. And by the way, that's why everybody named Jeremy is the worst. Sorry, Jeremy. Not my fault. Blame your mom and dad.
Now, I like that joke. I like that joke. I believe I've made some variation of that joke in my lifetime. If I'd like to think I have, not Jeremy. I never really met a Mitch that I got along with all that well. Jeremy's, there was one kid, we called him Jeremy as kids. And if he grew into some sort of sociopath, we're probably partially responsible for that, for calling him Jeremy. But he's also partially responsible for not bathing nearly often enough. But it just seems like enough already. This goes on for another 4 minutes or so. It just keeps on going like it's a roast, and he's going up and down the dais and going, and you're fat, and you're stupid, and you're ugly. Each bit individually would be fine, but after 4 minutes of this, you're going, okay, dude, you're trying for a slot at the improv. You're not actually going to help these kids. Eventually, he does get around to giving, you know, the sort of life lessons and advice that is always comes up in graduation speeches. So it wasn't the worst graduation speech ever, but it certainly wasn't all that good. So Ben Sasse, you need an editor. You need somebody to say, all right, now you've got 20 jokes here. Choose 7, and then make you choose 7, and you actually choose 7. Then you maybe put a little more meat on the bones of the part where you're trying to be inspirational to the kids, because it's supposed to be about them, not you getting your comedy chops. Finally today, you know, strip clubs. I've been to my share of strip clubs. Someday I'll explain my strip club history. I might have already on the show. Well, out in Wyoming, if you're living in Wyoming, you can now go back to the strip clubs. But it's going to be pretty slathered up with hand sanitizer, which is, you know, by the way, always a good idea at a strip club. If you've ever been in a strip club, you just know you don't want to see that place under a black light. But out in Wyoming, you can get the full lap dance. You can do see the nude everywhere except the face. So I guess it'll be, yeah, the dancers have to wear face coverings. Not a full burqa, but pretty close, because most of them are, you know, half a burqa. So I guess this is going to be horribly sexist. Should I even say it? What the hell? This is a great opportunity for the strippers out there, and there are many strippers out there who have incredible bodies and butter faces. Butter faces. This is the perfect opportunity for them. The butter faces who have always gotten less than the more attractive girls. Now is your time to shine. Go out, move to Wyoming. You can buy 400 acres for like the cost of 4 lap dances, or probably not, but my math might be off there. But can you imagine just a strip club with everybody wearing masks? That just strikes me as, I don't know, wrong, defeating the purpose, especially in the age of the internet. If you're just going, I need to see boobs. Cable exists. The internet exists. Boobs are ubiquitous on both. If you're like sitting there going, I really need to pay $8 for a beer and look at a girl and try and figure out whether or not she's attractive. First of all, she doesn't like you. That's part of the act. She's never going to like you. But secondly, I guess this is a perfect time for people who are both nudists and into bank robbery, because you can see what the world you want to live in looks like on stage to Cherry Pie by Warrant out in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So get out there. Not sure if you can fly out there or not, but if you start driving now, you could maybe make it by Wednesday. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend, and all that good stuff. We'll be back tomorrow with another exciting episode, as we are every day as we slowly emerge from our cocoon and hopefully not have to return. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.